Make your way over to John 21 this morning. So we all start at the same place. A few days before where we are in John 21, Jesus was raised from the grave. And now he is in the midst of that 40-day window of time from the time that he was raised from the grave until he would ascend to heaven to be with the Father, something that he is really looking forward to. He has appeared to the disciples on two occasions, once when 10 of them were there. Judas, of course, hung himself. Thomas wasn't in that gathering, so he appeared to them one time in Jerusalem, I believe John would record, and behind locked doors, and he appeared in their midst. Then on a second occasion, he appeared, and Thomas was there this time. And so this would be the third time that Jesus has appeared to some or all of the disciples, the apostles. The disciples, for some reason, went north to Galilee. They were in Jerusalem, and so they went back to Galilee, and they would go fishing. Peter, in fact, was the instigator. He said, "I'm going fishing." And these were guys that fished for a living before Jesus called them, as you know. And so they went fishing. They fished all night. They didn't catch anything. They were finishing up, coming ashore, and there's a stranger on the shore. And the stranger asked them if they caught any fish, and they had to reply, "No, we haven't caught any fish." So the stranger says, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat." Important. He told them where to cast the net, and they obeyed. And they filled the nets with fish, big fish. And John, when he saw the fish, he exclaimed, "It is the Lord." And Peter, when he heard that it was the Lord, he didn't check it out. He just threw himself into the sea and swam, the scripture says, 100 yards to shore. And when he got there, and then the other six followed, dragging the net full of fish, Jesus had prepared breakfast for them. And he said to them, "Come and dine." And so, where we were last week, in the midst of this gathering of these seven people, seven men, seven followers of Jesus, Jesus singles out Peter. And he said to Peter, if you recall, "Simon, son of John." Why did he use Peter's old name? Because Jesus himself had changed his name. I believe he was reminding Peter of who he was before his grace was poured into Peter's life. And he asked him the first time, "Simon, do you love me more than these?" And the "more than these" is, this is the only question where he addresses Peter in this way. The "more than these" was more than these other guys. Now they're there, they're listening in. And Peter said, "Lord, you know I love you." And remember now, when Jesus asked Peter, he asked him, "Do you agape me? Do you totally commit yourself to me without reservation all of the time? Do you love me like that, Peter?" And Peter said, "Lord, I like you." He used another word there. He used phileo, affection. He said, "I like you." Jesus asked him the second time, "Peter, do you love me?" He didn't use the "more than these" this time. He said, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know I like you." And the third time then, Jesus this time says, "Peter," and he uses the same word Peter's been using. He changes from agape to phileo, and he said, "Peter, do you like me?" And this troubled Peter. He was grieved, and he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know I like you." So that's where we are today, and I want us to pick up then, because we have looked at one name was called, that was Peter's. One question was asked, "Do you love me?" One response was given, "You know I like you." And the this morning we're going to finish with one command is stated. And we're going to look at that command today. The command that Jesus gave him after the first question was, feed my lambs. After the second question, he said, tend to my sheep. And in the third case, he said, feed my sheep. All right? So let's pick up this morning. I want us to look, first of all, at the agent. Thanks, State Farm agent, okay? The agent for the commands. Then we're going to look at the application for the commands. And finally, the action of the commands. All right. I think that we could probably all score pretty high on this little quiz, okay? Who would you guess the agent for the three commands that Jesus gives after the three questions? Who do you think that would be? Maybe not. Peter. Yeah. Okay. He's the only guy in town. All right. He said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Right? And then he said to him, feed my lambs. He's talking to Peter. Peter is the agent to carry out the command that Jesus gives. Now, the other six guys are there. They're bystanders listening in. They may be offended bystanders because he seems to be ignoring them on one hand, but also he compares Peter's love to their love. But anyway, they're there. They're listening in, but he's not talking to them. He's talking to Simon, son of John, Simon Peter, Cephas the rock. You see, Jesus is leaving. Sometime in this 40-day window, he's going back to the Father. In some time, a matter of a few days maybe, he's going to the Mount of Olives, and he is going to literally rise into heaven. And the apostles are there, 11 of them, and they stand and they're watching him go up. And then an angel appears to him, or angels, I should say, appear and say, men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up there? This same Jesus is coming again. And we know from the Old Testament, he's coming back to that very spot, the Mount of Olives. Okay? And so Jesus is leaving, but he's got a problem. The same problem that so many of you run into. He's got sheep. You don't have sheep, you have kids, I guess, okay, for the most part. He's leaving. Who's going to take care of the sheep? That's the whole issue here. And they are his sheep. My sheep, capital M. Jesus' sheep. And so as he is leaving, and he knows this in a matter of days, he needs somebody to take care of my sheep, his sheep. Did you notice that each time that Jesus asked Peter, if you love me? And Peter said, I like you. Okay? Now, I'm not going to totally commit to you, Lord. I won't say that. These guys are listening in. They know me. I know me. You know me. I like you. To the person who just likes Jesus, he is going to give the care of his most prized possession. Now, I don't know about you, but that kind of bothered me a little bit. Here's a guy that, well, you know, I like you, Lord. I like you a lot, you know, that kind of deal. And Jesus gives the care of his most prized possession to this guy. I don't know. Wouldn't you like to have a little more commitment in it than that? I would. You know, if somebody's going to watch out for me, you know, I want to make sure they're all in. But Jesus, each time that Peter says, I like you, I like you, you know I like you, each time Jesus issues him a command to feed the lambs, to tend the sheep, to feed my sheep. Did you notice that Peter doesn't get a scolding from Jesus when he said, Lord, I like you, He doesn't get in trouble for that. Rather, he gets the charge to care for the elect, the precious lambs of Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's you and me, okay? We would be in that flock. At this time, the flock is quite small. It's going to grow. The well-being of the sheep are placed in the hands of a person who we don't have a lot of guarantee is going to follow through on the command. Here's a principle. In the kingdom, those who are called to responsibility for the flock will be given all that is needed in ability and provision so the flock flourishes. You see, Jesus knows something about Peter. In a matter of days, 10 days after he ascends, it's going to be Pentecost. Okay? Peter's going to Pentecost. And at Pentecost, that which Jesus promised those who followed him, those about 120 in the upper room, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And they were empowered, just as Jesus said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power." They obeyed, they were. And on the day that they were anointed, baptized in the Holy Spirit, Pentecostals are saying, "Hey," and the Baptists are saying, "Okay, I have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so have you if you are in Christ Jesus." All right? All right, we won't go much further than that, okay? When Peter, when the Holy Spirit, when he was endued with power, Peter gets up and begins to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ with all of the power that the Holy Spirit would generate through him, and 3,000 people were saved. Huh? Lord, I like you a lot. What happened? Jesus knew what was going to happen. He saw forward in Peter's life. He knew Peter was going to be that flaming evangelist with the gospel of Jesus Christ in just a matter of days. That's who he's entrusting the sheep to, not the guy over here who says, "I like you, Lord." And folks, he sees your life and my life as well. In fact, if you are a sheep, he's got it mapped out. He knows who you're going to be. You've heard that little illustration when people struggle with the sovereignty of God and the all-knowingness of God and those kind of things. You know about the train or a car, if you want to, if you haven't been on a train. Okay? When we are in a car driving down the highway at 55 miles per hour, okay, we look out the side glass and it just kind of does this, okay? And we see where we are as we do that, right? Okay? If you were to get up in a balloon, okay, and look down on that car, you would see where the car is going, you would see where the car has been, and you would see where the car is. That's God's perspective of your life and mine. Amen. He sees where we are going, he sees where we have been, and he sees where we are. You see, all that happened here was Jesus knew where Peter was going. He's going to Pentecost. And so, folks, stay in the car. Don't get out and try to run up to that place faster, you know. Or don't get out and run back to where you used to be. Stay in the car. And you will go where he's taking you. So, he gives Peter the charge over his flock. You see, Jesus knew the flock needed a caregiver, an overseer. an under-shepherd. Because he knew the reality of something called, or some things called hirelings. You see, hirelings are self-focused false teachers who serve for selfish purposes, usually fame and fortune, money and popularity. And they will weasel into the flock of God and just mess up old Billy on purpose. Because they're not there for the flock, as Peter was called to. They're there for themselves. And Jesus knew about it in John 10. He said of these hirelings, he said, these hirelings, they care nothing about the sheep. And he said also, when the wolf shows up, they run. There are hirelings out there. Jesus knew this. And they appear very quickly. They appear very quickly in the New Testament. John, over in 1 John, is going to be involved with some of these guys, these false teachers. Peter's going to encounter the false teachers. And they haven't left. They're still there. They're around today. A hireling is that one who are self-focused false teachers. They care nothing about the flock. Turn over to 2 Peter real fast with me, okay? Same guy, Peter. He has a couple of books in the New Testament. If you get to 1 Peter, you're close. All right, look at 2 Peter 3, okay? Second Peter 3, let's read 1 through 3. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, Peter said. Beloved, in both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder. In other words, I'm reminding you again that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and the Savior through your apostles. Knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires, they will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long before, and the earth was formed out of the water through water by the word, and that by means of these they then existed, were deluged with water and perished. That seems like, oh, 2. That wasn't bad, but go to chapter 2, okay? All right. No mistakes in the kingdom, right? Okay. Now, chapter 2, okay? I was kind of unimpressed with those guys. Here's another group. Peter says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of truth will be blasphemed, and in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Jesus knew the reality of these guys, hirelings, false teachers, false prophets. He knew that they would come in to the church, and their purpose would be destruction because they are all about themselves. They're about money and fame. And so he knew this. But Jesus knew Peter was not a hireling. He knew that about him because he could see forward in Peter's life. And so he called Peter, knowing that Peter was going to be true to the faith all of his life until he's crucified, tradition tells us, upside down for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knew that. You see, the will of God determines an individual's work and not words that he or she may speak on the journey to the will of God. Take solace in that, folks. what we say at any point, what we think when we shoot our mouths off and all of that, okay, is not going to negate the fulfillment of God's will in our life. Peter said, I like you, Lord, okay? But when the will of God was brought to fruition, when he was endued with power, he became that preacher of the gospel whereby 3,000 were saved on one day and then daily were added to church those who were being saved. You see? Peter, at this day on the seashore, even though he's with the resurrected Jesus, is not the fulfillment of God's will in his life. So, the kids used to say, chill. Wait on him, okay? Wait on him. God never makes a mistake, but it seems to me like he got things wired wrong with us as human beings. Because most of us, when we get to the age, you know, where you figure it all out, sort of, then the mind and body go. That would work a lot better. But he knows, all right? Now look over in 1 Peter. 1 Peter this time. And I want to see you to see what chapter 5. I think I've got it right this time. Yeah, okay. Saint Peter, all right? So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker of the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This same Peter, who is giving the charge of the flock of God, is now an encourager of all of the other under-shepherds who are going to come through the future of the church. And he gives specific directions to those. All right. The agent of the commands, or for the commands, is Peter. Now let's look at the application of the commands. You want to try this one? Okay. Who is the application of the command? Sheep! Yeah, okay, sheep. Not Ovis Aries, though. Did I do that, Jake? Okay, that's Vet School 101, I think, all right? Ovis Aries is a sheep. That's not who he's talking about. He is talking about my sheep. Jesus didn't have any sheep. He was a carpenter by trade. Now, there are a lot of sheep in that area. A lot of goats too, I suppose, a lot of shepherds and all. But he uses that illustration to teach some deep truths about his kingdom. You see, there are those people who are his sheep. But not every people is one of his sheep. You with me? So his sheep are the believing ones. The ones who have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a sheep. Those who are in his flock, the ones he, the shepherd, is the shepherd of. He is a good shepherd, he said. Those he bought and paid for. He didn't just go out and pick up a bunch of stray sheep. He bought and paid for every sheep in his flock with his own blood. And so if you are a sheep today in the flock of God, the price for you was his life. And he bought you and he paid for you. He who owns the sheepfold is the shepherd. And the sheepfold has a door. That's a pen, an enclosure. Okay, there was one way in. Now, there were some who would try to climb up over in Jesus' illustration, but the sheepfold had a door through which the sheep would go, and then the shepherd literally would lay down in the doorway overnight so the sheep couldn't get out and nothing could get in. And he said, I am the door to the sheepfold. I'm the shepherd, but I'm the door. You can only get into the sheepfold through the door. The depths of what he's saying to us. And he uses this illustration, and everybody that knew anything in that area said, oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, you know. It had great application to them. It doesn't to us around here, probably because we don't do sheep around here. Some people do, but not very many of them. But he said, I am the good shepherd. He owns the sheepfold. I am the door to the sheepfold. And listen to this. Those who are his sheep know his voice. And he said, they won't follow anybody else. Fair question. Do you know the voice of the shepherd? Do you hear it often? You think, are you weird or something? No, I'm not. Man, I tell you what. The shepherd's voice, these days since I've retired and that kind of thing, is the most frequent voice I hear. Because I'll be outside for hours through the day. And the shepherd's always there. And lest I get out there in the wrong mind, my phone goes, ding! And one of her good sisters is dinging me and sends me a text. And it focused me back. And there it is, the master's voice, the shepherd's voice. That's a text, by the way. That's what's going on there, okay? Do you have a ministry like that, anybody? Huh? One of our good sisters does. And I'd encourage you to do that. I mean, you're paying $150 a month for that thing, aren't you? Give or take. Use it. Use it. I think there's 14 people, right, Dwayne? You're one of them, okay? Blesses my life every day. Sometimes a couple times a day. Okay. All right. Collectively, his sheep make up his church. Okay? Flock will be okay. His church. All right? His sheep are the object of his love. And he said, the scripture says that Christ loved the church, loved the flock, loved the sheep, and gave himself for it. The church is a big deal to the chief shepherd. It is his passion. It is his priority. It's his purpose. Now, we understand that there is a church universal of all of the sheep, of all ages, and that there are local representations of the flock called a local church. Okay? And we don't make a big deal about church membership here. There are some folks that somewhere around here close, that make a big deal of it. I'm not against that, okay? But folks, I grew up in the days when everybody joined the church. Basically, it came down to where they were saved or not. And it all came down to the, well, I belong to such and such church. You want a beer? You know, just, well, who preached last night? Oh, I ain't been there in years! But I belong to that church down there. Yeah, I'm a member. Thinking that somehow that's going to, what's that going to do for you? Okay? So I'm not against church membership. We have church membership. But folks, I would whole lot rather you be a member of the flock of God than a name on a church roll somewhere around here. Okay? So I'm not throwing rocks at church membership, okay? But being on the church roll will not get to you into heaven where your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Okay? All right. We okay? Nobody offended? Nobody going to leave? Going to stay for potluck? Now you're leaving? No, you stay. Okay? All right. The sheep that Jesus is talking about. Isn't that, doesn't that impress you? That every day when Jesus gets up and he doesn't get up, he always is, okay? He's thinking about you as a sheep. He's thinking about where he's going to take you on that particular day. He already sees what's going to happen. In fact, it's planned out by him. Doesn't that give you some peace? Knowing that whatever, he was there before you get there. His sheep, who make up the church, are those that he has selected, and those he has selected know his voice, and they will follow no other voice. He knows them as my sheep. So Jesus is leaving, and he's making provision for his sheep. And he didn't make a mistake in calling Peter. He's already appeared to 10 of the 11 in John 20. We've looked at that. He gave them the call, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you, he said. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. We covered that months ago, I guess, seems like. And then also he gave them the authority. So he is in the act of preparing them in this 40-day window, and then Pentecost is coming. So that's the application of the commands. All right, now let's close this morning. And let's look at the action of the commands. The action of the commands, we mentioned a while ago, he said to Peter, first of all, feed my lambs. Then he said, tend my sheep. And finally he said, feed my sheep. Now there's some that say, well, he's saying the same thing over and over and over. I don't think he's ever saying the same thing over and over. Okay? Or he'd use the same words over and over and over. Okay? The first time he says to Peter, Peter, feed my lambs. You see, there are three groupings in the flock, three actions, and three contexts for the care of the master sheep. And the first that he talks about, the first group is the lambs, the little ones. We know what a lamb is, even though we don't raise many lambs around here. We know what a lamb is. It's that little object that follows around a mama sheep, okay? All right? So he said, first of all, to Peter, feed my the little ones. But you see, in the kingdom, the little ones may be 80 years old. New converts. Could be a child. Could be an adult. They are new in the flock. They are the lambs, the little ones. You see, age really doesn't have anything to do with it. And I wish this were not true, but time in the kingdom oftentimes doesn't have a lot to do with it either. But for these lambs, the innocent ones, what do lambs need to eat? If we had a lamb out at the farm, okay, and I were to go over to Jody's, he's got good hay, I don't, and so he gives me, sells me, Jody would, okay, a bale of the best alfalfa hay. Paid $7 a bale for it. He said, Wheeler, you can have this. All right? Pay me later. All right? And so I take that bale of alfalfa hay, and I've got that little lamb over there, just 2 or 3 days old. And I say, all right, here, Bubba, have at it. In the morning, I'm going to go out, and I'm going to have a dead lamb. The lamb can't eat the alfalfa hay as good as the hay is. It will starve to death because the lamb needs milk. And if we are applying this, we're supposed to be applied to the kingdom. The milk that he needs is the milk of the Word of God. We're talking about the basics here. Don't try to to take a new convert and say, all right, we're going to go through Hebrews. Okay? Or don't direct them over and say, read Leviticus. I want you to read Leviticus. Or, no. What's the milk for a new believer? A lamb in the faith? Where would you send them? The milk is not what you say. It's what they hear that feeds their soul. Where would you send them? I tell you, the book we spent all these years in is not a bad place to send them. Because it tells them about Jesus. It tells them about who He is. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It tells them all much of what He taught. I like the book of John. When they finish with that, I send them to 1 John. And it's not the next day either. The book of 1 John, okay? Into their life as a follower of Jesus will make sure they're on the right road. Because a lot of times young ones struggle with living life in the faith. So the lambs need milk. Feed them milk, the milk of the Word, the basics of the kingdom. And certainly they are mine, Jesus said. And Peter, and he would be speaking down through the years, they need your care. Care for them by feeding them. Take care of them. Make sure that they're nourished in the milk of the Word. And what they need is me. They need to learn of me. And Jesus said, after all, I am the bread of life. We spend a great effort here in feeding lambs. Okay? Upstairs right now, there's a whole flock of little lambs up there. They're eating. Yeah. Sunday school, there were classes all over feeding lambs. All right? And some of those, all of those we trust, okay, those lambs are going to be nourished. And then one day they can go then to become sheep. And so Jesus said to Peter on the second question, the command was, tend to my sheep. This would simply be the older ones, the ones who have ate well on the milk of the Word. You don't want to stay there, though. We'll look over in Hebrews in a minute where he tells us that, okay? But the older ones, the older sheep, those who have eaten and grown and developed and are maturing, not are matured, but are maturing, they need care and direction. And again, I don't know anything about sheep, but I know that you don't leave them alone because they are idiots. Okay? They will stray. All right? They have their head down and they're eating. You maybe watched, you know, and they're eating, and they'll just eat and move and eat and move and eat and move. An old cow will lift her head, you know. It's kind of like, but sheep just keep eating. And before long, they're over the cliff, in the ditch, in the briar patch, or there's this looking at them. That's a bad thing, okay? And so he's saying to Peter, tend to my sheep. First of all, take them to good pastures. Lush pastures where they can eat and become stronger. Continue to feed them, but this now feed them the Word of God where that they can grow in that. And when they get distracted by whatever it is, you're going to have to go and help them come back to where they need to be. It's marvelous the illustration that Jesus is using here. So what do we do when a sheep gets in a ditch? We go get them and pull them out. We don't go and say, you're in the ditch, aren't you? Yeah. I knew you wouldn't. You know. No. No. I don't know what a good sheep's worth today, but it's worth investing, crawling down the ditch and getting them out. And I know what a good sheep is worth to the master today. He paid for it with his own blood. He expects those who are responsible for the sheep in the flock to get down in the ditch and get them out. You don't get down there and beat them up. Now, I am told that sometimes sheep that are often astray, that they would break their legs, okay? I don't want to go there and say, okay? But folks, we need, when we as sheep make bad decisions, we need be quick to give them exactly what Jesus has already given them, and that's grace. And not condemnation and not judgment. Because the Word says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If that person is a sheep, regardless of what that sheep does, they are not condemned. You see? Tend to my sheep. Finally, he said, feed my sheep. Older sheep need the Word also ongoingly. And do you know that an older sheep will starve to death and be in church every Sunday? I pray not here, okay? But it's possible for older sheep. Now I can do cows. I know a little bit about that, okay? If you don't give an old cow good hay in the wintertime or supplement it with feed, okay, that old cow will go out there and eat that old hay that doesn't have the nutrition that she needs. And her belly will be full and she'll lay down and die. Because what she is eating is not giving her what she needs. Too much? Okay? Folks, that same illustration can be applied here. A person can be in a church every Sunday, they can hear a sermon, they can hear a Sunday school lesson, and if it's all about feeling good, doing good, thinking better of yourself, and all this kind of thing, and it's all a bunch of namby-pamby self-esteemism, those sheep are going to die. They can only grow strong on the Word. Only the Word. The bread of life, the meat. Now, look over at Hebrews 5 with me real quick, okay? Hebrews 5, 12 it is. Starting 11. About this, we have much to say, the writer of Hebrews saying. And it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. The basic principles of the oracles of God. In other words, you're not growing, is what he's saying. You've been in this a long time. You're not growing, he's telling these folks. The basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. In other words, you should be into eating solid food now, and you're still only able to ingest milk. You're not developing, you're not growing. And folks, if you do not get the Word, you cannot consume the Word. Okay? And so what he's saying here is Peter, feed my sheep. Learn the delicate duty of supplying the appropriate nourishment. And that's one of the reasons we just go chapter and verse through this Word. I don't have anything that I can give you if it's not in here. Okay? Because whatever I can give you is just chewing on cardboard. But this is the food that we must have. And so he said, feed my sheep. Know what they need. How do you know what they need? The Spirit will tell you. Because the Spirit, okay, is He who Jesus said will come. And in John earlier chapters, you will remember, He told them everything the Spirit was going to do. will show you all truth. So the Spirit will give direction. And in this case, the feed store is the storehouse. His word, His will, which is in His word, and His way, which is in His word. Sheep do not need self-help strategies on how to be a better sheep. And certainly they don't need little platitudes of life lessons. I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. I'm just saying, I'm hungry. I don't want to eat cardboard. And you and I know when we are consuming the bread of life, the Word of God. Well, first question, I guess, to end this morning. Are you in the flock of God? If so, are you a sheep? There was a day when you became one of my sheep, according to Jesus. Has that happened? If that is the case, if you are a my sheep, there is only one thing that will nourish you, and that's His Word. And if you are in the flock of God, flock means there's other people around you who also consume the Word of God, and your life edifies their life, and their life edifies your life. I was talking to a brother just this morning, and some issues in their life, and he said, John, I don't know what we would do if it wasn't for the body of Christ. That's what it's all about, you see? And so if you're ever at one of those places that, well, you know, I just don't want to interfere, and, you know, interfere. They're in the flock. I mean, they may tell you to take a hike. Go take a hike. It'll be good for you. But reach out. Go as directed by the Holy Spirit. If He puts them on your mind, He put them on your mind for a reason. And if you're really one of those insecure folks, text them. You know? But reach out is my point. Because sheep, we need the fellowship of the flock. We need you. You need us. That's what this is all about. And so when Jesus says to Peter, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. That's extrapolated down through the ages to the local body. And in the local body, He has created elders and deacons. And He has given spiritual gifts to the individual members of the body. Know what your spiritual gift is and do it. There's a bunch of people back there in the kitchen right now. This is game day for them, okay? It's amazing. You know why? They have the spiritual gift of serving and hospitality. My precious wife, I spent a lot of years coaching football, and I'd spend up all night developing game plans and all this. My wife has been developing a game plan all week for that feed. Yeah. Well, John, what do you think? We're getting, you know. I don't have that gift. Amen, choruses all around, right? I don't. But they do. And you say, well, why do they need to feed people? It's not about eating. It's about eating together. Fellowshipping. If you stay and eat with us today, and there's not an advertisement for that, because it's free, but if you stay and eat with, you're going to meet some people that you don't know in this body. Yeah. Well, let's pray. Father, What an illustration that Jesus gave to Peter to feed his sheep. Father, I pray that everyone in this room would be in that sheepfold that Jesus says contains my sheep. I pray that's the case. Father, if not, I pray that today that they would believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and enter your sheepfold to be counted as one of yours. I pray that, Father, for any person here who's yet to believe. So, Lord, I pray this morning that you will watch out over the flock here, that you'll give wisdom, Father. You'll give a desire to reach out. And Father, I just pray today that when we receive from you a name, a face, we'll reach out. We'll feed the flock. We'll give them the word. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that we can be a part. And most importantly, that we can call you our shepherd. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name.